Welcome to MM Plays, our podcast where we design, play, and discuss a game and campaign. Along the way, we will alternate episodes between actual play adventures and the analysis and discussion of games and design theories that relate to the campaign we're playing. For this campaign, we'll be using the mechanics of Cortex Prime, designed by Cam Banks. We randomly selected a theme and ended up with swashbuckling high school urban fantasy. So, join MM Plays as we explore and enjoy a new campaign.
I'm Chris Nizak, and I'll be playing Silas Flamesworth, son of the Flamesworth family with the frozen and fiery intertwined soul.
I'm Old Man Logan. I'm playing Henrik Gunny Gunderson, son of the enigmatic Winter Wind and rookie elemental mage.
My name is Jerry, and I'm playing Santiago Zircon. He is the rebellious and reluctant scion of a powerful magic family.
I'm Phil Vecchione, and I will be your GM.
Go in there and stop that ritual.
Let's do it.
Stay with your swim partner. Let's go. And he kicks the door open.
Buddy system.
The handful of you, right? It's not an army, right? There's just a gaggle of you run across the street. It's 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning in Buffalo. This area where the bank is pretty dead for this time of the morning. You go busting in just by sheer force through the doors of the bank. There are a whole bunch more teenagers in the lobby having made their way in from the back rooms. The worms, which all have, you know, either t-shirts, tattoos, or whatever. They are a 2d8, 1d6 mob. And I will note, because you captured both Gabby and Jesse and
Casey,
that is a d6 instead of a d8. That mob is weaker because you've already removed members of the mob. And they are standing in the lobby behind them, protecting the rest of the building, which includes the staircases, because this ripple in the shroud was strong enough that you can tell it's not emanating from the ground floor of the Gold Dome. It's emanating from the upper floors. There are offices just under the dome. It's coming from upstairs. There is a magical barrier in place that has been erected to keep people from getting upstairs. This is a 3d10 crisis pool. Just a reminder, I think you guys know, you make rolls against the crisis pool. Your effect die is greater than any one of the dice. You may take a die out of the crisis pool if you succeed. And if you succeed and your effect die is smaller than any of the dice in the pool, you may reduce a die by one. Same rule goes with mobs. So with that, the doors burst open. The worms are standing there. There's the shimmering gold wall that is sealing off the rest of the bank. The ritual is clearly underway by the strain on the shroud. And there the three of you are, is kind of leading this force through the door. We'll go with popcorn initiative. Any one of you can kick it off, and then you can pass it to me at one point where the worms will do something. The barrier does not do anything, it just exists.
Well, T's in front. He'll jump into the swarm of the worms. He says, "Onward," and charges forward. So we're going to start off this little chaotic thing. So this is going to be Jock, D10 for bow. This is definitely fighting for the veil. This is D8 for the veil. We are going to spend a PowerPoint plot point. And it's opening. I'm kind of hesitating about this. Well, I'll add the D4. I'll switch by, drop the other D8 down to a D4.
I am rolling, just as a reminder, 2D8, 1D6 for the worms, a D8 for your pressure on you for leadership, and there, down with the cause for a D8. I have a 13, no ones.
I have a 1. I can spend a plot point and get a 15 with a D10 effect die.
Yep. So you actually can take out one of the mob dice with that D10.
Okay. I will take out one of the D8s. Charges forward with Bo behind him. And while the rest of the junior guardians start to spread out, we just smack right into the first group of them. And T uses his physical force. Instead of just slashing at them, he basically shoulder rushes them, knocks them aside, basically tries to break up their group cohesion. And Bo's right beside him. Put you to sleep, put you to sleep, put you to sleep, as she goes.
You put a dent, right? You put a dent in the worms. Like, they're down with the cause, but that mob is now only a D8, D6.
To pretty much everybody's surprise, I pop a different axe. Instead of the single-bladed axe that I've been carrying around from my father, all of a sudden this two-headed thing pops up in my hand. It looks almost the same, except it's got two blades instead of the one. And I just start swinging it. I'm like, let's go!
Fancy!
Bo looks over. He leveled up.
Look at that.
Way to level up. She looks at you, gives you like two thumbs up, and then hits somebody with the pillow mallet. Stay down.
So I will go after that mob as well.
Okay.
I am running on pure emotion right now. I'm hopped up.
You are running on pure emotion and hopped up, but I'm going to put your D10 into my pool because
of course you will.
I don't know how committed you are to really...
Uh-huh.
These guys are fighting for a cause. It's not a terrible cause.
There's some merit to it. And if you look at it from a certain point of view, this is D8 for Vale. We're going to lean on Sins of the Father again. Another D8. I am going to also spend a mana pool, die. All right, so that's an additional D8. So I got three D8s and a 10.
The mob rolls a 15, but they do have a 1.
Yeah, unfortunately, I got an 8, a pair of 7s, and a 1. So if I spent a plot point, I could beat it. However, that would leave me with a D4 effect die. So I'm just going to let this go as a failure. I go flying in like I'm going to just wreak some havoc on these guys, and I get into the midst of them, full backswing, and all of a sudden my downstroke is kind of half-hearted. Like the fire just got sucked right out of it.
You remember from hanging out with Casey, you remember playing, you know, Call of Violence. That's who these kids are.
Oh, right? You know these people. Oh no.
This is like some of the clan that you were playing in.
Guild members.
You've met these people on Discord and stuff.
One of them looks at you, Gunny? Traitor! I thought you were one of us.
They're going to press the attack on T. They consist now of a D8, a D6, and a D8 for their down with the cause. The total is going to be 11 with a D6 effect.
Can I take a D4 to get a plot point or not?
Yeah, you can always. Yeah.
I got bow backing me up. I'm still sticking with my jock, my distinction. I've got a Heart of Stone. I'm still fighting for the Veil. I'm dropping the Heart of Stone to a D4. So that gives me 2D8, D12, D10, and a D4. I will also spend one of my mana dice to my D6 to just kind of give me some extra oomph on this thing.
Mounting a massive defense here.
Can I ask you a question before you roll?
Yeah.
When you drop your D4 for Heart of Stone, what does that mean narratively out of curiosity?
He doesn't quite believe that this is going to keep going. He watches... Gunny went into this fight. He kind of expected Gunny to be their powerhouse in the fight, and Gunny just kind of knocked things around and it looks kind of confused. He expected to knock more of these guys back. This is not the charge he was hoping for, and now he's surrounded. I have a 1. I will beat this with a D12 effect die.
Beating it's enough. You take no damage, but that 1 is D8 on a whole lot of responsibility goes to a D10. It is the waning of his confidence into this battle, but you manage not to get hurt.
Is the mob in my way from getting at the shielding?
Nah, you can get to it.
Me and Mesa may walk up to the shielding. We weave our way through the battle because we have a goal, which is to get upstairs to get the crystals.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What do you think? Ice, then fire, shatter it? I know it's magical, but it still has to obey some amount of properties.
I mean, it's gold.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. I mean, you'll make it brittle and then I'll shatter it.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
We're going to go D10 for my relationship with Mesa. We're going to go D10 for Geek. I'm going to go with Learned because I was talentless.
Using your thinky.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Veil because we're defending the Veil here. This is a heinous thing that has occurred. I'm going to spend a D8 mana pool die. That gives me 5 dice.
I'm rolling 3D10 on the barrier. I rolled a 1 and a total of 7. Feel like you're going to have a very good roll right now.
Okay, everybody, here's some plot point tomfoolery up here. I'm going to spend a plot point to add a die.
Yeah, I knew you would.
That gives me a 16.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to spend another plot point to add another effect die, which bumps both of my D10s up to D12s, which means I take out 2 of the D10s.
2 of these D10s.
Gone.
Gone. Did you say you had a 1 in there?
No. You rolled the 1, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yes.
Yeah. Here's a 1 to weaken that barrier by another step, the other die, to take that down to a D8, so it's almost gone.
The 2, you fucking smash the barrier.
Mesame just... coats it in hoarfrost and just like it's like a block of ice, and then I take the burning heart, which is my main gouche dagger made of fire, and I stab it. When I stab it, there's an explosion that ripples out across it, which mostly breaks down the golden barrier. It's only just like in drips and drabs and little bits of pieces left standing up there.
There's like holes in it now. Like, it still will prevent you from getting upstairs while it has any dice, but not by much anymore. I mean, you could really just push through it.
What do we think the mob should do?
I think they should clean up the worms.
Okay.
I'm now rolling D8, D6, and the D8 for their distinction for down with the cause. I have not a bad roll. 13.
I am rolling 2D10s and 2D8s because we also have the teamwork die in there.
Mm-hmm.
I can do a 17 with a D10 effect die. So we can take one of those dice. We'll take that one of those D8s right out of the picture.
The guardians rally and reduce the worms down to now a D6 with their distinction, holding them together.
You hear Natalie yell, to Dantella, throw some water there and freeze it. And she does. And then somebody steps on it. And then you see Dee flick out her rope dart around that person's leg and pull it out from under them, pulling him into another person, knocking them down.
She slams him into Robinson, who's the big guy.
Mm-hmm.
He bounces off Robinson. And that's when Archie just steps up with his electrical and just...
So it's now looking really bad for the worms down here in the lobby. There is just a flickering of what was the magical barrier. The worms are scattered and laying about. There's just a handful of them still on their feet. The ritual, you can still feel the power of the ritual forming upstairs.
Gunny, we've got this down here. Go back up Silas and Mesame.
You got it. I throw the axe behind me and fire off a blast of wind. Use movement and just try and blow right through that last D6.
The barrier has just one D8, but I will also, of course, be pulling the D12 from your easy money as easy as... I know you want to do the right thing, but the temptation, the chance that if you could get upstairs and help this ritual, you could still be part of the prosperity is immense. The dragon calls to you. All of your riches, all of your desires, none of your struggle.
I've, of course, got my D10 emo, my D8 for Vale. I'm using my Distinction Leaf on the Wind for a D8, and I'm throwing in a D8 mana pool die.
Are you ready?
No, of course not. Roll them dice.
Oh, I rolled a 1, and I got a 8.
Big money, no whammies. Stop. No ones.
Yes!
I got 11 with a D10.
Before I clear this, you have a moment here. You could spend a plot point. I will allow you to buy my 1 to lower your easy money's easy because you just shattered this barrier.
Damn right I do. So I point the axe behind me, I fire off a blast of air, and I just burst through the remainder of the very weakened barrier and just fly right up the stairs.
Little bits of gold just shower down as the barrier breaks. Gold glitter falls to the ground all around the battle.
I look at Mesame. That was Gunny, right?
Yeah, that was Gunny, all right.
I think it was Gunny. It looked like Gunny.
He's heading upstairs. I suspect we should go with him.
Yes, let's go.
He looks up for a second. I wasn't really good at chemistry, but am I right that gold is like one of the softest and most conductive metals? Is building a barrier out of that the best idea they could have had?
It's like magic. It's super hard in any way with magical force, right? I'm with you. Like, it seems stupid. That's what Archie says.
It's not as strong as the Action Squad.
Action Squad, go!
Archie looks at you in the middle of the fight. Are we really going with that name?
Hell yeah.
Robinson pounds somebody and says, Action Squad, go! It's different when you're in a fight.
The remaining worms are like, Action Squad? What's the Action Squad?
I chase upstairs. Into the main ritual area, I suppose.
Let's talk about this for a second. The ritual is also a crisis pool of 3d8. It has a distinction. Essence battery of d8. This is now a timed challenge. So there are beats. Just so that you guys know, because you found the location of the ritual beforehand, you have more beats on this count. So you have 10 beats total to solve this. You would have had less beats if you had to travel across the city to get here on the day of the ritual, but you were poised to strike quickly.
Can I make a suggestion that would seem to make sense and be fair to me?
Yeah.
You should knock a beat off of that because it took us a round to get up here.
It's fair. I will knock a beat off. In addition, this ritual is not running by itself. Paula is up here.
Oh, good. I can't wait to see Gunny beat the ever-living love out of her.
Let's just really quick, as you guys come busting into the room... And this is, like, this was an office. So when you go up to the top of the gold dome area, right, the actual dome keeps going up. But there are offices right under the dome, and they're for different things, like accountants, lawyers, and things like that. This was a rented out office. And when you kick in the door, there's no furniture in there. There's two magic circles. There's a magic circle with a laptop in the middle of it. And all sorts of writing around it that looks like it's directing energy into the laptop. And then the other circle is a magical circle with a pile of crystals. And there's like a linkage linkage drawn between the two circles. That is actually the distinction essence battery. And then the ritual itself is centered around the laptop. Paula Blair, for those of you who don't remember, Paula was the woman who took Gunny out to go shopping before prom. She was the initial contact you had with the worms. She vetted you before inviting you to go to the back rooms. Paula Blair is standing there conducting the ritual. She is in her mid-20s. She's got long black hair. She's well-dressed even right now under the stress of this.
Is she wearing a power pantsuit?
She is wearing a powered pantsuit, as one would do in such a situation, on the cusp of the prosperity elemental taking form.
Is it black with gold thread?
Like, she's got black and then like a gold blouse underneath it kind of thing.
Oh, nice.
And when you kick in the door, she just shakes her head and she's like, I'm about done with you fucking kids. From behind her, she pulls out this gold saber. Paula, as an adult, is also a scaled character. She possesses a D8 scale. So, Chris, as a reminder, what does scale do?
It allows you to roll that as part of any dice pool, and it allows you to keep another die. You can keep 3 dice.
Yes.
She sucks.
Of course that saber is gold. I've got her. Get the crystals.
Oh, I plan on it. I assume when we get up there, you're actually already fighting with her because you got there before us because you're so fast. This just happens to be my turn.
Yeah.
As soon as you enter the room, like, she jumps over the circle and engages you.
So I get up there. I see Gunny and Paula fighting. I look at Mesame and then I look at the pile of crystals. He's got that. He'll be fine. Let's get the crystals.
That's all she can see. She doesn't even register that Paula's fighting Gunny.
Is it a distinction?
You will be attacking the distinction, but it's part of the ritual.
Correct. We're going to attack the distinction.
Yep.
Because we're just trying to take the crystals out of the ritual.
Exactly. I will be rolling 4d8, 3d8 for the crisis pool of the ritual, and a d8 for the distinction essence battery.
When I get near it, I say, I wish T was here. He's really good at rituals.
He really is.
Nobody fucks up a ritual like T does.
Well, we got Masame. That's a d10. We have my geek, because I'm trying to figure this out. That's a d10. We have, this is definitely mage, because this is not standardized veil stuff.
Are you angry?
I am angry. You can have a d8. I assume Mesame is also angry.
Yeah, you two are.
I am learned because I was talentless, so I will use that too as a d8. That's 5 dice right there. That's pretty solid. Or 4 dice right there, I mean. That's pretty solid.
I'm rolling 5d8.
14.
I do not have a plot point. I'm actually going to turn down my learned because I was talentless to a d4 because this is outside of my study. Thank you.
Sure.
This ain't going to work. I ain't going to get this.
You can do it.
Oh, I got an 18 with a d8 effect die, which is fine.
Your d8 effect die will bump the essence since you're attacking the thing. That's going to bump it to a 6.
That is where we start. And with that, I will then kick it. I'm going to kick it to the mob.
Okay. And since that was a success, not a heroic success, that's 1 tick. Mob, what's mob doing?
Mob is going after the rest of the worms.
Okay.
He tells him, take the worms.
You take the mob dice.
Mm-hmm.
I am rolling a d6 and a d8. I got a 9.
They have an 8 with a 1.
Uh-oh.
They don't have any plot points to spend.
No, but somebody in the Guardians gets taken out in this round. Who goes down?
Archie goes down. Archie gets too close and one of them hits him. Robbie now looks over and sees Archie go down.
Archie gets taken out by somebody hitting him with like a giant club made of like a 24-karat gold bar.
The worms persist. You will pick up a plot point because I bought your 1.
So the mob gets a plot point.
Okay.
Yeah, mob gets a plot point. And because Archie got taken out, one of the Guardian dice goes from a D8 to a D6. So that mob is now 1D8, 1D6, 1D10. They pick up a plot point for the 1, and they still have their D10 for their teamwork. Oh, and the mob failed. That's a 2 tick.
Yeah, that's true.
And passing the 3rd tick on this countdown increases the shroud damage to a D10.
Let's T's turn.
I'm just going to give you some options. You don't have to stay down here. The barrier is now down. You can deal with the shroud damage. You have options.
I think that the Junior Guardians can take care of fixing the shroud. They don't have to deal with the worms anymore.
Sure.
He assumes that the 3 of you will handle whatever's upstairs right now until you say otherwise. So he will take out the remaining worms.
Come at me, bro.
I do have a 1. I have an 18 with a D8 effect die against your D6 D8.
Yeah, I can't actually even roll enough.
You should roll anyway because you could roll once.
I do not, but I do not. I failed to beat your number. Your effect die beats my D6, which means that the worms are off the table.
So T steps in and goes after the 2 that took down Archie. And just as he gets in there, Bo steps up behind him and whacks them both in the back of the head with her pillow. And they both drop to the ground. T looks at the group and says, fix the shroud. Phil, I forgot you still have the D10 for my whole lot of responsibility. You still have a 7 and a 5 on the table. You're still going against my 18. So you still can't beat it, but you could beat my heroic success.
Correct. So let me roll. That's a 9.
Okay, so I don't have a heroic success. I have a standard success because of my whole lot of responsibility.
I will add 1 tick to the counter. Paula's turn.
That means she can go twice.
She could go twice.
She should go twice.
She should go twice. She's sick of your crap. Although, honestly, at this point, I don't think she wants to fight you as much as she wants to attack that Easy money is easy.
She can smell it.
She's fully aware of your affliction. She is naturally 2d10. She has a distinction magic made wealth that gives her a d8. And she is a d8 scale. While you two are locking blades, she looks at you and she's like, listen to me. There is still time. If you can hold back your friends and this ritual completes, we will be rich beyond our wildest dreams. You're like me. You're from poverty. I was from poverty. It doesn't have to be like this.
Because she's not physically attacking me, that means I can't use my defense.
Correct.
Bring it.
So you have 23 with a d10 effect die.
And a 1.
I got me a 10 from Emo. I got me an 8 from Vale. I got me an 8 from my distinction. Sins of the Father.
I will say, because his magic is air, you can make enough like wind noise to make it too noisy for you to hear her. Right? The problem is she's talking to you. Assuming you have like some sort of control, something.
Oh, I do. So I will spend a maniple die of d8. Pray for me, gentlemen. Not today, kids. I get 18 is the best I can do with a plot point. And there's no reason to spend it.
You could spend that plot point to buy it down to a d12 instead of being taken out, at least.
I have to.
Her words are potent. You realize you might be in over your head with her. Tell me what you're feeling.
I fall in panic.
Right, her words are like, you could be rich. You could be Flameworth rich. You now see kind of swirling around the ritual. No one else sees it in the room. You actually see this dragon, right? You see this dragon. The dragon's made up of numbers, different numbers and symbols, like various currency symbols. But this abstract dragon is just floating around the ritual, and it looks at you, and it's like, every desire you have ever wanted is within your grasp if you will just bring me forth.
T charged up the stairs.
Okay.
I come in.
Yep.
I see you guys in one spot. I see...
You see me standing there facing Paula with my axe down at my side, slack in my hand, and I'm like sweating.
Fuck. Paula, and he charges in at her with his sword drawn.
She looks over at Gunny and she's like, keep listening. Keep listening. And she's like, all right, punk, it's time to put you on your ass. And she snaps the saber to the ground and then raises it up in your direction. Man, my next gig is going to be with no fucking kids, and strides at you.
Roll for initiative.
Roll plus affiliation.
All right. 11.
I have a 4.
We're going to go jock, mage, not just a huge dumb guy. We are going to use our special effect, the sandstone after images. I will spend the pop point I got him to create them for everybody.
All right.
So everybody gets sense, and I still have the d8 for my... Heart of Stone.
You still got some plot points.
I got 4 plot points.
That's good.
And then I will spend some mana here. Let's do this. There are 3 ones, but I have a 20 with a d12 effect die. I'll spend a plot point and make that a 24.
Do you want to give in or continue?
I'm feeling pretty confident. I got scale. I'll take a shot at this. 2d10, magic made wealth, distinction d8, scale d8, and your insecurity about leadership at d10. 26 with a d10 effect die.
Do you want to give in, or do you want to continue?
I'll give in. I'll take the cheddar of my arcane stress.
What's your die with bow?
D10.
I'm going to buy that out. She takes bow out.
Oof.
Bow jumps in the way to try to help deflect that attack, but her attack is so powerful that it both knocks her aside, like into the wall and out, and shatters your arcane shield.
T can decide if he wants to continue the duel, which will occupy her, and start a new contest eventually when one of you two get a turn. Or if you want to disengage, which means if you keep in the duel with her, that means she can't, unless she spends a plot point to get out of it, go after Gunny.
I mean, you just knocked his girlfriend to the ground. He's all emotional. He'll stay in this till the next time it comes up.
So Paula is tied up.
And I will toss it to Silas.
I mean, we're doing what we're doing. That's our goal. I know that there's other things going on, but me and Mesame are super focused on this ritual.
Do you want to dismantle the ritual?
No, it's the battery. We need the battery.
Okay. I suspect with a creative plot point, you could knock out one later.
You get a D for my anger.
Oh, thanks.
So we have knowledge of the ritual. I have Mesame, which is a D10. I'm a nerd, so, you know, I have a D10 of that. I am learned because I was talentless. I'm like, T, what are you doing fighting her? We could do the ritual. You should do the ritual thing over here.
I think that's going to be right where it is, 14.
That looks like a 15 with a D10 effect die.
Which will easily destroy the essence battery.
Which means we snatch all the essence stones.
Correct. You can, if you have an extra die, you could take a second effect die on the ritual.
I'll start dismantling the ritual on top of that. So aside from snatching the essence battery, I put a little backlash magic into the connector that flares into the ritual.
Yeah, I like it.
So we dismantle the circle. Mesme grabs the stones. I look at her. Get out of here with those.
She takes off. She throws them all in her designer backpack. She kisses you very quickly on the cheek. She's like, be careful.
I will.
By doing what you did, you spent a plot point. You picked up a second effect die. You've knocked out the D6 for the essence battery. That's how Mesme got the crystals. And you knocked out a D8 from the ritual, turning the ritual into a 2D8. And that was a success, not a heroic. So that is one more beat. And the shroud goes up to a D12 as we are on the sixth beat. Shroud damage is getting, it's getting bad.
Paula kicked it to T.
Yep.
T kicked it to me.
Yep.
I'm going to kick it to the group. I have them go after the, they can go at the shroud.
Absolutely. Okay. Difficulty is, for the shroud damage is 2D12. That's it.
The group's got a plot point though. So
they
that's
plot point. Yeah. 19.
This is managing the shroud.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get like an extra die added? Because the place is cleared out now and Gunny's dad could actually help manage the shroud damage. We'll just take the scale idea, right? Like we'll just get to add an extra die without having a die.
That's fine. I'll take that. Jurgen comes in as with the guardians to help fix the shroud.
And you have a 19?
Yeah. Remember, you get to add an extra die.
They will have a 23.
So success?
They only drop by one die size, though.
Still, it's a D10 instead of a D12.
Yep. Shroud is now a D10. So Jurgen walks into the front of the bank, and he's like, children! And he's holding his cane, and he looks, and they all turn and look at him, and he's like, he sighs, and he's like, action squad!
Action squad, go!
Action squad! We gotta tamp this thing down! Coming back around full circle, Paula and T, locked in battle. Silas, working on the ritual, it's still going. Although its essence battery has been cut off, it's just drawing essence from the prosperity site, from the gold dome itself. But it no longer has that extra fuel. Bo is down. Mesme gone. She's running down the stairs with her Fendi bag full of crystals to make it out to the street to save those souls. The dragon is staring at you.
I drop to my knees.
All of your wishes.
And I can hear my mom's voice.
None of the suffering.
It's never been about the money.
It's always been about the money.
It's never been about the money. I am remembering all the things that my mom used to tell me. I'm remembering what she did when I gave her a friggin' scratch-off worth $30,000. I'm remembering every lesson she's ever taught me. And I'm fighting this.
Are you attacking the ritual?
No. I'm fighting the dragon in my head. With this D12 riding over me, I don't have enough wits about me to be like, oh, there's a ritual going on here that I need to deal with. So I'm fighting the internal struggle. Flying high with emotion with the D10. Lovely D8 for the veil. D8 for I can't disappoint my mom. And, as ugly as this is going to sound, I'm going to use the special effect from my distinction. I'm stepping down the highest trait die before the roll to allow a re-roll of any single die when making a check related to my mom.
I'm rolling 2d12. Are you ready?
You got 2d12 and I got 3d8.
With a re-roll.
It's what I got.
That's a 20.
You suck.
You have a plot point?
I do.
Well, roll 3 8s.
Not today, kids. I got a 7 and 2 threes.
Nothing bad happens, so you didn't roll any ones. You just didn't fight it off at all.
But we got another tick on the thing.
You got 2 ticks. Shroud damage goes back up to a 12 as you are at 9 out of 10 ticks. Paul is just going to kick your ass.
Probably.
Roll plus affiliation.
I rolled a 7.
I got a 12. I get to have my D8 for the after images. I get to add a D8 for my... I'm going to go back to Heart of Stone. You get the responsibility die. Oh, I also have my mana die.
You can also spend a plot point to add a second die from any of your trait sets, too, if you wanted to add another die into your roll. Like, not add it to the roll, but, like, roll another die.
Yeah, I'll do that. Because I'm emotional at this point. I took out my girlfriend. I want to beat this woman down so hard. I might not stop hitting her. So, setting the stage.
Oh, that's you. That's right. You won the initiative. Go ahead.
Two more ones. I got a 17. I can make it a 20 if I spend a plot point, so I'll spend a plot point.
Don't do it right now. Let her come back first.
Well, that's right. She has to come back at me.
Yeah,
so yeah,
you can always choose later.
So 17.
Yeah, what scale? I'm feeling
what's your effect die?
Effect die is D10. Oh my god, she might not be able to do it with three dice.
She's got plot points too.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's 12.
She can get exactly 17 if she spends all her plot points.
That's not enough. She's gonna get higher.
You know what? She's gonna take the damage on this one.
What's her effect die?
D10.
That's a heroic success. So that means a D12 effect die.
Yeah, you shatter her mana shield.
And we don't spend any time.
Okay.
Okay, here, this is what happened. You got a D12 effect die, right?
Yes.
You have a D12 mana die, and you get another D6 on top of that.
Ooh, way to go, Jer.
And there's a look of shocked surprise on her face.
I'm gonna go with Silas. Things are coming apart. The ritual is flaring up in the center. The fight is still taking place on the side of the room, but T smacks her back and she crashes into the window, cracks the window behind her. She shakes her head and looks at you incredulously. How dare you, child?
You hit my girl.
I'm gonna do way worse than that in a minute.
I look over at Gunny, see him there kneeling and sweating.
I'm gonna ask you a question.
Sure.
Mechanically.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to pull from the Guardians? And if so, do you want to take their plot point with them?
No, because they need to fix the shroud.
There is one beat left on this ritual.
Well, then yes. Give me both the D10s.
Take the D10s and you can have the plot point.
I'm smart. That nerd die that I have, my geek die. I am learned in spite of being formerly talentless. This is mage, so I got my 5 dice right here. And I got a plot point to roll with it. Go ahead, roll.
Oh,
thanks. Thanks, I appreciate you, buddy.
Phil rolled a 2 and a 1.
It's about damn time. I spent the plot point. I got both of them. So I have a 17 with 2 D10 effect dice because I'm going to spend that plot point for the extra effect die. This is getting out of hand. I need some help up here. Ash and Dantello run upstairs. Like, okay, Ash, drop some light there. Dantello, water it up here. I'll freeze it. Then we'll just rip it apart. And hopefully that'll let us get at the laptop and destroy it. And that's what we do. Light descends upon the one part of the ritual, which cracks part of the magic circle that's going on there. Dantella throws some water on the other spot. I freeze it instantly, then I smash it with my foot, and then we all just beat on the laptop as it magically sparks until it breaks, cracks, and then shatters.
As that happens, the dragon gets like sucked back into the laptop as it's getting beaten. There's still time. You can still help. And just draws down, but the ritual itself has stopped, which means the countdown has stopped. The pressure against the shroud ceases. Paul is still here, and Gunny is still staring off at the circle.
Gunny, if you get Paula, you'll probably fail better.
She turns around, she looks at you, she's like, you could have helped all this come to be.
Shut the fuck up.
You've ruined everything.
I just smack her down with the axe. I flat blade right to the side of the head.
She slumps down. All of you, the rest of the Guardians, and Jürgen standing at the back fill in the rest of the room. And she just looks up and she's like, fuck it. There's no place for me to go anyway. She just holds her hands up. This miserable town, you miserable kids. And the adult Vale members move between you guys and grab her. And then you just hear quietly, Action squad. As they haul her out.
Action squad.
And Bo's eyes flicker open. She's like, oh, hey, honey. Did I miss anything?
No, you jumped in front of one of her attacks.
She looks around. She's like, what happened?
We won.
Yeah, we did. She gives you a big hug.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you did it. You led them to victory.
We did. We won. He then looks around. She's okay. So he looks around. He's like, how's Archie?
Somebody yells out like, Archie's going to be okay. Miss Cortez has him.
Gunny, how you doing?
I need help.
We'll get help.
Your dad comes over and puts his arm around you and he's like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. We're going to get you help. You did it.
It hurt.
You did it, man. You didn't give in.
I told you we're stronger than this.
It's the first part of recovering.
Let's get the hell out of here.
Was that a bag of stones I saw her running off with?
Yes. Essence stones like Morris and like Mesame.
Well done.
You guys come walking out of the bank. The adult Vale agents are now weaving spells to cosmetically change the damage. But Jürgen leads you guys out, still holding on to Gunny. You find out later in the afternoon that the assault on Wall Street was also successful. Not every prosperity cell was found and captured, But the veil overall made a very good dent in the prosperity mages. There are people who got away in different places. You see a montage of people running out of buildings, like in California, in Miami, in Chicago, people getting arrested in different places, Columbus, things like that. But overall, the veil makes a pretty strong pushback against the dragons. And of course, the ritual fails. Without the stabilizing mana to keep the nascent elemental formed, the elemental falls apart.
He will gather all the junior guardians, including Silas and even Mesame if she's around, at the local Tim Hortons. Buy everybody some coffee and some donuts. I'm actually proud of all of you. We didn't falter. You guys kept the veil from sundering. We did it.
People are eating their Timbits and thumbs up and rubbing their various bumps and bruises. And some of them are checking them out like, hey, look, is it, you think it's going to bruise? Like, that looks cool, right? Mesame is sitting with you, having turned the bag over to the veil, who's going to deal with the crystals. And she like holds your hands and she's like, thank you.
Of course. I knew it was important.
You feel like a calm emanating from her. Just to think that other people went through that, and just to know that those essences can be released instead of just lying in torment, or even worse, consumed by whatever that creature was going to be.
No, we did a good thing here.
Helped a lot of people.
Let's take a look at the epilogue. I have three questions for you guys that I'd like you guys to answer, and you can answer in any order you like. The first one is, I want to know what from now to the end of the school year looks like.
For me, now till the end of the school year is the most normal time I've had in the past 7 months. I can just go to school, study, hang out with my friends, do my junior guardian stuff like a normal junior guardian.
I'm going to add one thing to that. It is the first time in 7 months your sleep has been peaceful.
How does rehab work?
You can still go to school during rehab. You just have to go to rehab like after school. And rehab is a bit of magical unwinding. They use spells to kind of therapeutically help kind of uncouple your temptations. They don't wipe out all your memories, but they work with you to, one, have an aversion to prosperity magic and to kind of uncouple those feelings.
I pretty much take a temporary leave from the junior guardians to do rehab after school every day. And everybody else, as far as they know, like mom, I'm still in junior guardians doing that after school.
Gabby and Jesse are also in rehab. You're just not with them.
Mm-hmm. I show up every day as soon as he gets out.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, with some amount of food or something, just to let him know that I'm there for you, Gunny.
Appreciate it.
I was going to say something very similar, that we're going to be there to give you some level of normalcy.
How about T? How does the end of the school year go?
Two things. Number one, T actually buckles down and with Bo's help actually studies for exams.
What?
He studies better in dream space.
Also makes his mom extremely nervous because there's an awful lot of late night napping. There's even a really weird sleepover that he and Bo end up studying and then sleeping. He leaves the door open the entire time, but mom keeps poking her head in every hour or so to see what's going on.
As long as you two are sleeping a foot apart.
Well, that doesn't happen.
No, she just curls up into you.
Yeah. We basically do our best to study, but also keep my mom on her toes. He's also, unfortunately, T is also constantly fending off questions from Amethyst about Gunny's well-being and gives very vague things because it's not his place to tell her what's up with Gunny until Gunny's ready.
All right, tell me about the summer. What's your summer like? School's over. Junior guardians are only during the school year. You're off for the summer.
For the month of July, or at least 3 weeks of it, anybody, my friends can come to the Caribbean and hang out with me and mess with me because I'm fucking rich.
Yes.
And I'm going to utilize it to my advantage in this situation.
Yeah, between Erlis and Victor, they think that a vacation is due for all of you and foots the bill for the junior guardians.
Sounds good.
I actually decline.
A little too tempting?
No. I spend the month of July working the store.
How's your dad reintroduced?
I have no idea how the hell they're going to pull that off.
I mean, they uncouple a spell to help that along, right? There's a spell that gets undone that was cast on your mom.
I would imagine with you helping fill in the blanks of the story, it'll be a little easier for your dad to come back.
So like for her, it's just like either he was never gone or he just came back from like somewhere and...
He was on one of his hustles. He's coming back. She's always known he's not been terribly reliable.
Yeah.
Although that's going to change.
He basically just lays out I'm done. No more. I'm finished with that crap.
I got a real job. No more hustles. No more. Just, I got a real job. I'm just, I'm going to be a 9-to-5-er. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to be here with you guys. Just you and Jürgen. No.
Mm-hmm. She's a little skeptical at first, but she's going to give him a shot.
Nice.
Plus, they have some time with me running the store. They have some time to spend reacquainting with each other.
Oh, there you go.
I go down to the Caribbean, and then in August, I will do a part-time job working for the Vail directly.
Okay.
I go down to Vail offices.
Nice.
I need to see if this is actually what I want to do. And the best way to do that is to volunteer and work at the Vail, and probably just doing paperwork and all the simple intern stuff.
Your nickname is Hotshot.
Oh, dear.
All the agents refer to you as Hotshot. They mean it half jokingly, but actually, they all know, like, that was some pretty serious shit. You have a bit of cred with them. They have to haze you because you're an intern.
Of course.
But they haze you with some respect. Like, none of it's too embarrassing. Like I said, Hotshot, but some of them really mean it. Last question. Give me the highlights for the senior year.
Gunny throws himself into normal, regular schoolwork during the day, helping out mom on occasion.
How about Amethyst?
Amethyst is taken on many dates, and they go to prom.
And stay in this dimension?
And stay in this dimension.
For all of prom?
Yep. An actual, normal, mundane prom. We hang out with friends, we dance, we have fun.
You're all sitting at the table, and Beau's like, remember last prom? We went to that other dimension, and Mesame was, oh.
Enjoy this one.
Look, we're all in the same dimension for this prom. Yay. And in our actual bodies. And then she gives Mesame a hug.
We win the Knowledge Bowl. Just clean up the entire year this year.
You guys are focused.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Mesame join the team?
We have like a bench now of like Mesame and Archie. It's destructive.
Yes.
I did really well on my SATs, but Lisa beat me by 10 points.
And rubbed it in your face.
The entire time. I didn't say that during the summer because I didn't. It wasn't relevant until senior year, really. I got into Yale. I'm going to law school there.
See Silas open up the email, right, from Yale, clicks it, and like there's a big confetti thing.
Is that
like,
what it does now? Is it an email? It's not even a letter?
I mean, I think they send you a letter, I suspect, but they also send you an email that like usually has some animation and shit. Yeah.
It's a fairly normal year for once, which is pleasant to just go to school, be a teenager. Not have to save the Vail, uncover a plot that would destroy the Vail and everything around it. And we do prom and then we get ready to go to college, which will be sad because I don't think most of us are going to the same place.
Nope.
But you'll all be home for summer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
T?
T, first of all, he goes to every Knowledge Bowl to root for his friends.
With Beau.
He is completely incapable of even qualifying in the junior Knowledge Bowl, but he's there to watch the team play.
I feel like because of that, like a bunch of other people start showing up and it gets like rowdy at these things instead of being like this like normal.
We have cheerleaders.
Yeah.
So they can't say Action Squad.
Yeah.
But whatever the team name is, they all start chanting it. It becomes the kind of unifying thing of your junior guardian class is like you all root for each other hard. Like on Gunny's last day of rehab, all the junior guardians are waiting for him.
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
Action Squad.
Action squad.
T will also spends a lot of time with the junior guardians. He trains with them. He starts training the next group that comes in. He does his SATs, does okay on them. Goes on a lot of dates with Beau, has a regular prom, and prepares for college locally. He's going to go to one of the state schools right here in Buffalo.
Yeah, several good ones.
At some point when we're at prom, it's like later and the thing is just about to end. I look around at everybody. I say, it's kind of boring compared to last year, don't you think?
I like boring. Boring is good.
I don't know. I was only here for the end of it, Mesame says. I liked the end of prom.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
That was a good ending, yeah.
It was a good ending. Hence why, I mean, it was this year was boring in comparison.
Well, boring is a relative term.
I think any prom where my mom doesn't show up to terrorize everyone is probably a good prom.
Yes.
Yes.
That right there.
I mean, I did see or hear about somebody getting frozen to death right after that.
Yeah.
I'm only a little bitter about it still.
I'm not.
Fair. So about that college thing.
He also ends up on the prom setup committee because why not?
Because Lisa's in charge of it.
Yes.
Yes.
And Mesame also gets accepted to Yale.
Very nice.
Yeah. Pre-law as well. You got some competition there, Flamesworth.
I just plan on us both changing this whole world together.
There's a lot of things I think that we need to fix.
Many. And we can do it.
Hello, everybody. My name is Chris Nizak, and I have been the audio editor and audio engineer for this production of MM Plays Children of the Shroud. I've learned a lot throughout this process, and I hope you've all enjoyed everything that we've put together here. I'd like to thank Phil, who's been our game master, Bob, who's played Henrik Gunny Gunderson, Jerry, who played Santiago Zircon, or T, and all of you who have been listening and who also contributed to our episodes via Slack or message or however they got a hold of Phil. Thank you so much. We look forward to bringing you more Mr. Ectomark plays in the future. But for now, please keep being magical and try not to wreck the Shroud too much. We don't want to have to send Veil Agents after you. Thank you for listening to Mr. Ectomark plays. Now let's do some Patreon shoutouts before we get out of here. Let's start with the Royal Court. We have the Polish Ogre, our very own Polish Ogre, Lars Henrik Evjan, the Lord Out of Time, Jim Likes Games, the Royal Merchant Emeritus, the Chromatic Chameleon, the Queen's Spy Mistress, J.T. Evans, the Queen's Librarian, Schmitty, the Keeper of the Labyrinth, Andrew Dacey, the Warden of Whiskies, John Carney, our very own Court Necromancer, keeping me alive when I die, Craig, the Lord of One Name, Tiberius Starcrash Smith, the Baron of Britannia, Eric Bontz, the Weregator, and Kevin Lovecraft with that lovely royal beard. Now we have some other patrons that I want to mention right here. John, Chris Constantine, Miko Froelich, Eric Simon, The Deliverator, belongs to an elite order, a hallowed subcategory, I love that reference, Bridget, Athelis, not that Billy Mitchell, but some Billy Mitchell, Fiona, Kathleen Halperin, Christopher Gamelk, Michael Asperum, Joseph Knoll, Carlos, Heptalema, Michael Draper, Gubano, Alice Cura, Jim Fitzpatrick, Brantley Harris, Steve Radabaugh, Richard Wyatt, Joseph Peralta, Brian Kurtz, My Brett, not My Brett, but somebody's Brett, Jared Rasher, Eileen Barnes, and Brandon Barnes. Thank you so much for being our patrons. If you'd like more content like this, check out polygamero.us. We are the Polygamers Podcast Network, where we help you play your best games. If you are interested in supporting this show and other shows on the Polygamers Podcast Network, you can go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/mmp. If that's not your thing, we'd still love your support by listening. We have Pandas Talking Games with Phil and Senda. It is car talk for your RPGs. Ask them questions and they will answer them. There's the Gnomecast, where gnomes get together to give game mastering advice in order to try to avoid being thrown into the stew. They want to help you, but they also don't want to die. Lastly, there's Thaka with Advantage with Ange and Jared. They talk about D&D topics while covering the history of the game and how it's evolved through the years. With that, the Mr. Ectomark Podcast is a Polygamerous podcast production, where we try to help you play your best games. Mic drop. We out.